see this number out this morning with your Bibles ready to study. If you have your New Testament, if you will, be turning with me to the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter. We'll begin there in just a moment, Matthew chapter 4. If we have any visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your faith in Christ, you may be baptized for the remission of sins. In the book of Matthew and the 4th chapter, if you will, look at verse 1 beginning. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now then, if you would kindly, look in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, Jesus is upon the cross of Calvary. And if you will, look at verse 39. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. At this particular time, I want to put before you two different incidents that happened in the life of the Son of God. And I want you to note the wickedness of the downward pull. In your Bible, back in the book of Matthew and the 4th chapter, notice that on 3 occasions it said Jesus was led up. That the devil had led him, or the Spirit had led him, to different locations. In Matthew chapter 4, if you will, in verse 1, the Spirit had led Jesus up into the wilderness, but for the purpose of being tempted by the evil one. Then if you take your Bible, notice in verse 5, the devil took him up. The devil took him up, and notice at this time, to the holy city, Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And what he is doing is trying to get Jesus to come down from that. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But then in verse 8, note again, the devil took him up, this time to an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And notice what he says in verse 9, I will give you all these things if you fall down. Every time the devil took him up, he wanted him to come down. He wanted him to go down so that he might sin against God and the Spirit, that he might violate the will of his Father. But in your Bible, notice that Jesus would not come down. But there's something I want to bring to your mind. In Matthew chapter 4, notice in verse 5 and verse 6, that the devil took him up into the holy city and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. Where the temple was located would have been where, if one was to jump off the side of the temple, the fall would be great because it went down into a valley. But the devil says, look, if you were to jump into the valley or even into the courts off this temple that was built so high, you would be unhurt. Because the psalmist said in Psalm 91 and verse 11 that the angels would carry you down, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus, if you want your kingdom, why not cause a sensation? There you could be on the top of this mighty temple. And if you just floated down into the temple court, the people would say, well, my, there is a man with power. There is a man that jumped off the temple, was not harmed. In fact, just floated down easily, stood amongst us, and he must be the Messiah. The devil is saying to Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross for a kingdom. If you want your kingdom, just jump from the temple. Come off the pinnacle of the temple. And if you cast yourself off, the people will believe you. I've often thought about how that might have been a temptation at that particular time. To jump off the pinnacle of the temple and cause a great sensation. Can you imagine the words around Jerusalem? Had Jesus jumped from that pinnacle of the temple? Could you imagine what they would have said along the city? Did you hear about Jesus of Nazareth? He went up on the temple and he jumped. He jumped off the temple, was not hurt. He must be the Messiah. We've heard of his other miracles. We've seen of his greatness. And he caused quite the sensation. But I want to put into your mind this morning that Jesus did not come to cause a sensation. Jesus came to be a sacrifice. And when you look in your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, you have the great contrast. In Matthew 27, notice these individuals are saying the exact same thing the devil said to Jesus. The devil kept saying, jump down, fall down. Come down. And notice in Matthew 27, that beginning in verse 39, that when Jesus was on the cross, the people kept saying, at least in verse 40, if you are the Son of God. That's the exact same statement the devil made. If you are who you say you are, look at that next phrase. Come down from the cross. You know what the people wanted there? A sensation. Show us your power. If you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, you have the power you say you have, then why not just come off the cross? Why do you stay nailed up there? Why do you let them spit on you and laugh at you and mock you? If you are who you say you are, come down and we'll believe you. And if you take note, even the chief priest and those that were there that day made the same statement. In verse 42, they said he saved others. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. That was a lie. The scribes and the elders still wouldn't have believed. But what they said is, Jesus, give us a sensation. Give us something that we can behold. But Jesus didn't come to cause a sensation. Jesus came to be a sacrifice. And may I tell you that the greatest evidence of power Jesus showed is that even though he was mocked, even though he was belittled, even though he was spit upon, even though they dared him to come down, that though he had the power to come down, he restrained that power and stayed on that cross. Have you ever thought about what power it took for Jesus not to demonstrate that he was the Son of God by coming down? What a temptation to know you can do something and yet not do it because you are offering a sacrifice for the very ones who are daring you to come down. So when I read my Bible, I think about the sacrifice and the temptation. I think about the temptation to cause a sensation And then I think about the fact that Jesus said, I did not come to cause a sensation. I came to be a sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is to take that, make application in the lessons years. You know what people are pointing to today? You know what a lot of people want today? They want something sensational and not a sacrifice. They want something that'll move their emotions, that'll excite the passion, that will make their hair stand up on the back of their neck, that will give them a thrill for a moment. And then they walk off and say, my, didn't we experience something? But the problem is, my friend, we need more than just an emotional experience. What you and I need is a sacrifice. And Jesus came to provide what we needed, not what we wanted. You know, there are people all over Shreveville, Tennessee today that they're worshiping God the way they want, not the way they've been told. Now, I don't question their sincerity. I don't question their honesty. But I do have one question. Why do we not just go back and worship the way God has told us? Could it be that we are seeking a sensation instead of offering up a spiritual sacrifice? If you open your Bible kindly to 1 Peter chapter 2. When Peter was writing at this particular time, he lets them know in verse 5 what they are. And as Christians, we make up. He said in verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sensational sacrifices. Oh no, not sensational, spiritual sacrifices. We worship God the way He wants to be worshipped. Just as Jesus came and fulfilled the will of His Father and did what His Father said and did what His Father commanded so that our sins can be blotted out, today we offer up spiritual sacrifices to please God. Not to please the senses of man. Not to please our emotional fix. I would hate to think this morning that someone came to Eastside and they got some thrill because I got up here and played the banjo. First of all, I can't play the banjo, but second of all, if I could, that they thought, man, that was some picking. And they went out of here and felt good. But they didn't hear the truth about God. They didn't hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't hear they're a sinner in need of God's love and mercy. When you change the purpose and intent of a local church, I'll tell you what you do. You exchange the sacrifice for sensation. But I'll tell you something else. A lot of people today just want to ignore what God has plainly stated. There are a lot of people today that they think Christianity means that we follow certain things we hear on the radio. And that if we do certain things, we're going to have a big bank account. And that we're going to have the nice home. And that we're going to drive the nice car. And then that we're not going to have to experience any heartache here. I'll tell you, my friend, any preacher that gets up and preaches that is a fraud. Because I want us to understand that's not what the Bible ever teaches. But there are a lot of people looking. There are a lot of people who, when they read Matthew 16:24, don't read it the way that Jesus said it. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, notice that Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what that means? You're killing the old man. You're killing the desires of the old man. You're now going to be a new man. You're taking up a cross, an instrument of death. But someone may come along and say, well, now, Jesus, you know what? You're not going to get a lot of disciples that way. What you need is a padded cross, something that's a little more convenient, something that's a little more relevant to our day and time. We don't want to have anything in our back. We don't want any splinters. We don't want any problems. All we want you to do is bless us and bless us and bless us and then take us home to heaven when we die. And what we want to see is sensation after sensation after sensation. And Jesus said, that's not the purpose. And somewhere along the line, we've changed the purpose of the local church. People today talk about being relevant instead of reverent. I'll tell you what the church needs to be, reverent that leads to relevance. If I am reverent, that's relevant to my relationship to God. I've seen local congregations just going further and further and further out. And when you ask them why, they say, well, we need to somehow bait the people in. Well, you know, my beloved friend, if I'm using a bait and switch, then I'm not being honest with the gospel. I've had people tell me the only way you're going to get young people to obey the gospel is if you get them in the door with games and fun and problems. If I was a young person, I'd take offense to that. Because basically what you're saying is they're not smart enough to understand that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Paul's day, when they were being persecuted, do you think they went around having carnivals? We passed by one church building here in the other day after we had gone out. Sam and I had went out as a train conductor and the daddy. He went and they had a carnival out. And I said, Sam, what's wrong with that? He said, that's not the work and purpose of the church. I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We don't have all those things to draw people so that they have fun and frolic. What we are is a spiritual body. People don't need to find fun and frolic. They find that everywhere. This world is full of amusement. But what people need is to be spiritually fed. And can I ask you something? Have we become ashamed of the gospel? Have we become ashamed of God's word? Do we not think that it has the power to change lives of people anymore? Do we think we have to have everything else under the living sun? In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Oh, that's a powerful statement. I'm thinking that some people are ashamed of the gospel today. I think some people are ashamed to say they believe in book, chapter, and verse. I believe some people are ashamed to say they believe in Bible authority. In a postmodern world where everything goes, are we ashamed to say, I believe the old Jerusalem gospel? Do we think at Eastside that we need to have a sensation to grow? Now, I'll tell you something. If we want to fill this building, I'll tell you what you do. We can have one blowout and hootenanny or whatever they call it today right after another. And we can play games, change everything on the living sun. And you'll get a crowd every once in a while. But you won't sustain it. Because even that comes lame compared to what people are doing in the world. And what we need to be aiming at is not the flesh, but at the heart of man. In this world, what people need is to see that they are a sinner in need of the love and grace of God. I'd hate to think I missed heaven because I didn't see. Now, I've preached and I look out and I see some and I realize that to some people they don't understand the importance of God's love and grace. But I wish I could get into your heart, your need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because on the day of judgment, everyone who's in Christ is going to be thankful. He didn't come back. Even though he could have at any moment. But because he loved you, he stayed on the cross. And I want to tell you something.
That's the greatest demonstration of love there ever was. And will ever be. What I need is a sacrifice. I don't need a spectacle. What I need is the amazing love of God. If you're here and you've never been baptized,